Good morning. Hey, stop. How are y'all? You good? Good. That video just keeps going on. Did you guys see that this morning was the first time that you and I got to see the face of old Mac? Did you catch that? So Jezebel, or Jezzy, was out to annihilate, destroy, bingo. Because last night we looked at this story of this huge power of God on Bingo's life due to his faith on Mount Carmel. And today he is running in the opposite direction because now he is fearful that he's about ready to be killed and destroyed. I love that line. Your fear is never stronger than an old Mac. But sometimes they are louder. Sometimes our fears are louder than our Creator. Sometimes the things that we're afraid of makes us run in another direction, but the whole time, Mac is right behind us. And we just have to turn around and seek him. And that's the story of today's video. He's a good, good father. It's who he is. And I'm loved by him. It's who I am. If you want a song about identity, that's the best song you can ever choose. Because he's a good, good farmer. He loves us. It's who we are. You have your Bibles this morning. Go to 1 Kings. And let's finish up really quick. Chapter 18, where we left off last night. So go to 1 Kings 18, verse 42. So last night, Elijah, the fire of God came down on his altar and burned it up to prove and show the people that he is God. In verse 42 of 1 Kings 18 says this, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Can you imagine what he had just witnessed? And now he's nervous. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened. Oh, God was with me in everything. Then in verse 43, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. And seven times Elijah said, go back. And the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And I can just see it being there last year, standing on top of Mount Carmel. I saw where that servant was looking. Because in the very far distance is a blue strip, which is water. It's the Mediterranean. And he was looking way out there. And suddenly he sees a cloud forming the size of a man's hand. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. And meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose and a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Wait a minute here. Ahab rode to Jezreel. The power of God was so upon Elijah's soul that he ran. He outran Jezreel, who was riding to Jezreel, because God's power was on him. That's a big success. Last night, there was a big success, so to speak. Not because of anything that we did here, but because of God's power in your lives. Many of you came forward last night. And now you feel motivated. You feel excited. You feel empowered, so to speak. But tomorrow, you go home. You go back to the world the way you left it. And maybe it seems like you've been here more than 3 days. It hasn't changed that much. And tomorrow when you go back home, you're going to step back into the place where you were before you left. A lot of you sat last night and you did not come forward. But maybe you are right where God wants you to be. Maybe you were confused last night about what was happening. Like, how should I respond? Should I go forward? Is there a category for me to respond? Or should I just stay where I am? And many of you followed Jesus and you're right where he wants you to be. You didn't have to move. But he calls you deeper, deeper, deeper still. He's not done with you. He's not done with those who came forward. Until the day you die, he's calling you deeper, deeper, deeper still into his love. Why? Because he's a good, good father. It's who he is. And I'm loved by him. It's who I am. So we get to chapter 19, verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, being ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Dun, dun, dun. Ooh, scary, right? But she was a threat. And check out what Elijah does. Verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Wait a minute. He just proved who God was. Yesterday. And now in this moment, he's running for his life because of fear. Your memory verse today, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but what a power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the Lord's testimony or for me his prisoner, but share in the suffering of the gospel by the power of God." God gives us a spirit, student, of power, love, and self-control. And now Elijah is finding himself in a wilderness experience. So for my 8th grade year, when I woke up with this muscle and nerve disease, through my senior year of high school, I did not ever experience a better day. In those 4 or 5 years span of time, every day I got worse. Never got better in those years. Every day got worse. My body was twisting. I lost all control of things that I couldn't help. And it got so severe that when I was a senior in high school, you know where I was? I was confined to a wheelchair. And I sat in a wheelchair for 5 years. And I never thought I would ever walk ever again. And I'll talk about that later on this week. Today, I'll tell you what happened, how I was able to walk again. I never thought I would ever walk again, however. It was so bad that people had to dress me every day. They had to bathe me every day. They had to put me in the bed. They had to get me up out of bed. I cannot do anything for myself except feed myself with a fork. That's all I can do for me, myself. And everything else, I had to rely on other people to take care of me. And I had fear, student. It's like Elijah, I wanted to run. I knew the power of God in my life. I'd seen it. But when I was a senior in high school, I was helpless. Because I didn't see God. I didn't hear him. I didn't know where he was. And I was running, and all the time, just like in the video today, he was right behind me. All I had to do was turn around and cling to him. And so my senior year of high school, I'm at the end of it. It's getting towards graduation time. According to one doctor, I was supposed to be dead and die during my senior year of high school. Internally, I was starting to fail. My kidneys were shutting down. My liver wasn't good. And this gives me chills. My mom was in the process of planning my memorial service. And all the music she was going to play at my service, she had planned out. And this is the song I'm going to play that day. I'm not supposed to be here. And I wanted to run. I can't run, I needed a wheelchair, but in my heart, I was afraid. And it's May, my senior year of high school. I'm about to go before I'm to graduate. And I'm still hanging on. And I get a call from my youth pastor. And he is all chipper. Like, why are you so excited? Because I can't wait for this next weekend. What's this next weekend? Oh, come on, Christian. How's my trip? Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah, I'm not going. What? I'm not going on a houseboat. Do you know what a houseboat is? It's basically a camper on pontoons and it floats. They're not that big. It's a senior trip. For all the seniors in our youth group, this is called the Grad Classic. That's what they call it. And it was in Northern California, Lake Shasta. And he said, I want you to go. I said, I am not going, Rich. Are you crazy? You're asking me to sit on a houseboat for 4 days and not do anything but watch all my friends have all the fun that they could ever imagine? I can't see you. I can't ski. I can't swim. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm not going to waste my weekend being left out. It's just sitting on a husband in a wheelchair. You know what I'd rather do? Stay home and watch TV. That's more fun to me than that. Say, like, oh, come on, Chris. That's not like you. Come with us. We'll take care of everything. We'll bathe you, we'll dress you, whatever you need. We're there to serve you. Please come, because if you do not come, it's not going to be the same. You're one of us. So I went. I was taking medication at that point. And medication gave me side effects. Diarrhea, I had. Stomach cramps, blurred visions from taking this pill to help my disease get better. My biggest fear is that I would have an accident on that houseboat trip. It happened. It's 3 a.m. one night, and the houseboats are anchored to a cove on the shoreline. The guys have a houseboat of their own. The girls have a houseboat of their own. And every night we go to a different cove in Lake Shasta. And we anchor our boats up for the night to sleep. I'm in the kitchen area of this houseboat. Everybody else is up top on the roof outside under the stars. Because the weather is beautiful. It's May. It's warm. That night, for whatever reason, it is Jimmy in the kitchen area where I'm sleeping in this houseboat. It's me and him. I wake up at 3 a.m. one night out of a deep sleep. I hear the crickets strumming up a sound. The water is lapping up against the hollow sides of the pontoons. The full moon is spilling through the window, moonlight casting silhouettes of shadows on the wall opposite where I'm laying down. And it sounded like fireworks. And diarrhea started to ooze down my leg. Yeah. Disgusting. I had diarrhea in my sleeping bag. And it reeked. And it stunk. And at that moment, I knew I should have never gone to Lake Shasta with these people, these friends. I can't get up. I can't walk. I need a wheelchair. My wheelchair was somewhere else. I had to call out, Jimmy! He's sleeping away. He doesn't hear me at first. I call him again, Jimmy! No answer. The tears begin to well up into my eyes. They begin to fall over my cheeks, and I begin to sob like a baby. I don't know what to do. I'm in a wilderness place in my soul. I have so much fear that I begin to bawl and sob, and my body is riveted with all these emotions, and I'm shaking, almost convulsing. And Jimmy wakes up. Jimmy is a senior like me. That would be like somebody in her cabin this week poops in their sleeping bag, and you have to respond to it. It's disgusting. I hear his voice, Chris, are you okay? No, I'm not. And I tell him what had happened. And it was embarrassing. And Jimmy says, don't worry about this, Chris. I'll get up, I'll go wake up Rich. We'll take care of this. It's why you're here. We love you. And he goes to the front of the houseboat where my youth pastor is asleep. Hey, Rich, he says, Rich, wake up. Jimmy, what's going on? What's happening? You thought it was an emergency. I guess it kind of was. He goes, oh no, we're all okay. But Chris had an accident. And he's not okay. Rich, he wants to go home now, but he can't. We're in the middle of Lake Shasta, 6 hours away from our hometown. It's impossible for him to go home. He needs us now. Okay, Jimmy, I got it. How about you go back to bed, and I'll take care of this. I've done this before for Chris. I'll do it again. You know what my friend Jimmy says? Somebody my age? He told our youth pastor, I will not go to bed. Are you kidding me? That's my brother. That's my friend. I'm going to help you clean him up with you. He said, Jimmy, no. You go back to bed because you will throw up. He's like, nope, I ain't got moving until you let me help. They get my wheelchair, they wheel it in. The moment they peel back the sleeping bag, Jimmy gets in, not my youth pastor, and he scoops his arms in my sleeping bag to cradle me so he can pick me up. The moment he does that, you know what happens to his arms? Diarrhea is all over him. All over him. And he scoops me out of my mire and my filth and sets me in my wheelchair. And they wheel me to this bathroom on this hospital that's really tiny. And the whole weekend, the wheelchair is too wide to even fit through the door. So they had to pick me up and drag me with my legs dragging behind because I couldn't move them anymore. And they put me in the shower stall and they turned on the water. And I thought my youth pastor would get in there and clean me up. No, it was Jimmy. It was one of you. One of your friends here. That was what the story was like. And Jimmy washes me up. And as he's washing this body of filth, he's not flinching his nose. He's not making comments. He's not acting like he's disgusted. He's quiet. And I'm bawling my eyes out. Because I cannot believe what someone is doing for me. You may not see Jesus act in your life, but you will see it through other people. And that day I saw it through Jimmy. And it changed my life forever. Because here I had this fear. I didn't know where my farmer was. I was running. And here somebody out of love comes alongside me and shows me where he is. My life is a mess, student. My life is broken. It's not a life to feel sorry for at all. It's a life to celebrate because he's a good, good father. It's who he is. And I'm loved by him. It's who I am. Elijah's running today. He's running out of fear. So last night you had a big celebration of what happened in your souls. Tomorrow you go back home. And I don't want you to run in fear. Because old Mac is stronger than any of your fears. But sometimes we make our fears louder than they really need to be. All Bingo had to do today was turn around and see the face of his old Mac, the farmer who takes care of him, the farmer who loves him. When you go back home tomorrow, and I go back home tomorrow, it's going to be the same struggles that we left them with. But we have a good, good Father who loves us so very much. Amen. God, thank you for this morning. God, fear is a common occurrence in the soul of man and woman. And when that happens, our tendency is to run, hide, do whatever we can to mask it. But Lord, all we have to do is turn around and see that you've always been with us. God, thank you for Jimmy. Lord, I pray that we would be Jimmy's to other people around us. Because if they can't see Jesus by their circumstances, maybe as you call us deeper still into your love, we could show them Jesus by our actions to them, of how we care about them, how we show them we love them by the things that we do. So Lord, I pray that as we go to our classes, you would help us to be mindful of how it is, Lord, that you love us. Because you are a good, good Father. It's who you are. And I praise your name that we get to be loved by you. It's who I am. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.